Hey, everybody. Tim Moe from The Bulwark here. I have successfully navigated travel during the government shutdown. Shout out to all the folks doing the work out there. The government workers aren't getting paid at our airports because it's a disaster. It's tough out there. But I was at Crooked Con in Washington, D.C., the event put on by our friends over at Pod Save America. I think I was on maybe the spiciest panel of the whole conference. Shocker. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. There are a few other issues that are percolating this Saturday that I wanted to give you my take on before I go out and enjoy a beautiful fall day here in New Orleans. But first, to Crooked Con. So my panel was moderated by my friend Amy John Lovett and Jessica Tarloff, who's on the pod on Friday. If you have not watched that, go watch it. Simone Sanders, myself, and Hassan Piker, who, if you don't know him, you're probably a boomer. Hassan is extremely popular with the youth. He is a far left. He's kind of like Zoran on steroids as far as his ideology is concerned. So, you know, a mix of views, right? I mean, Simone worked for Bernie and then worked for Biden. Hassan is left populist, anti-capitalist, I think it'd be fair to say. You got me, you got Jessica Tarloff, who's a raging moderate. And so, you know, we're covering the gambit and talking about how Dems can have a good time and have fun and appeal to people who listen to Hassan's show, but also who listen to, you know, Shane Gillis's podcast, like people who are like in the political center, who moved to Trump this last time. You know, I almost feel like I should do a longer thing with Hassan because obviously our views are so different. And we did kind of go back and forth a little bit on policing and a few other issues. But the fireworks actually came between me and Simone, who I love. And so nothing personal, just this is all part of the game. We're all trying to figure out the best way to do this. There's going to be some disagreements, some heated disagreements. And on a play for you, a little clip from Crooked Con of Simone and I getting into it a little bit.
They didn't win because they opened up the aperture and let people do what they need to do. They won because they tripled down on what they believe, even if what they believe.
Right. That's just not. I'm sorry. That sounds good, and I like it. I want it to be right. It's just not right.
They didn't win because they tripled down on what they believe.
No, they did triple down on what they believe.
Yes, they tripled down on racism.
It was
populism, but it was populism is a thin ideology mixed with a thick ideology, according to Cass Mudd.
Simone,
populism was had a lot of things in it. It was an economic populist, but populism had a little white supremacy in it, a little racism. Like Bernie Sanders is a populist in a different way than Donald Trump.
Yeah, here's the thing.
So though, I don't understand.
Here's the thing, though. Can I just say really quick, though? Here's the thing. Like, yeah, he doubled down on a bunch of terrible shit that they believe that's extreme. No doubt. He also was seen as left of Kamala on foreign policy. He was seen as an anti-war candidate. He was seen as anti the Republican establishment on war. He cut to the middle on that.
Yeah, he lied about that, for sure.
He's a liar.
Of course he lied.
Yeah. He lied.
But then maybe our guy should lie about some things that are popular, too.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a shorter clip. I don't want to make you watch the whole deal, but the gist of the argument is, And I think this is a fair representation of Simone's point of view. She's saying basically, why should the left have to necessarily moderate? Because the right didn't. You know, the right went all in on racism, fascism, misogyny, and they won. It's maybe a misjudgment to think that the Democrats need to do something different. Maybe the Democrats just need to go all in on their on views, on extreme views, and do so passionately and do so in a way that alienates and ostracizes the right. And maybe the Democrats can take the maximalist views that they have on various issues and win. I think that's a reasonable thing to say. It's a reasonable view, I think, particularly if you're coming from the left, to look at Trump and say, he didn't why do I have to moderate? How did he win over the middle? You know, when he's so extreme on all these issues, particularly immigration and race issues. I hear that. I understand that perspective. As I said in the clip, I just think it's wrong. And just kind of expanding, the one example I gave in the clip was on foreign policy. I think this is the most prime example. Trump does cut to the middle. And sometimes in the way that we're using middle here is a little confusing. So I guess I should just say, like, if you take the Republican Party before Trump, like the far right wing of the party, I guess Ted Cruz would represent the far right wing of the party. They are a very aggressive foreign policy. You know, he's for the Iraq war, very pro-Israel, you know, very pro-interventionist, Ted Cruz. Extremely far-right social conservatism on abortion, on gays, and also on immigration. You have, at that time, kind of what was seen as the right-wing views on economic issues, which is, obviously cutting taxes for everybody, but also you know, cuts to Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, such the cuts to the social safety net, right? So like that Ted Cruz view is a closer analog to like the inverse of, you know, AOC, right? You know, who is taking kind of the left position on basically everything in the Democratic coalition, right? And so if you're kind of drawing a line across, you have the Ted Cruz view over here and the AOC over here. So now Trump comes in and he outflanks Cruz on the right on a couple of things, right? He comes up with fucking policies nobody even thought of before. We're going to ban all Muslims. You know, like I want to end birthright citizenship, right? So Trump does, and so I hear someone's point on this, he does go to the far right, particularly on a lot of race issues. But like we also just need to be eyes open to the fact that Trump also cut to the middle on several issues, on foreign policy, saying that he's going to be the peace candidate, he's going to end wars, these wars have been stupid, the neocons are dumb. Like he did that. And that's a popular view. As a neocon, it hurts me, but that's a popular view. He took a smart, strategic, popular view, and some of it was BS, but just like he did that. He did cut to the middle on stuff. He did cut to the middle on abortion. Again, was he lying about his position on abortion? Yeah. But he wasn't taking the far-right pro-life view on abortion. And the Democrats are trying to say that he really would enact those policies, and he has, right? But Trump himself, in his own rhetoric, you know, tried to distance himself. You know, talking about how Mike Pence was pretty extreme. You know, tried to cut to the middle on abortion, on Social Security and Medicare. Again, there have been cuts. Well, not Social Security, but particularly the healthcare programs. But Trump knew that he had a lot of old people in his coalition, a lot of seniors. Like he was like, "I'm not gonna. These guys are crazy that want to cut Social Security and Medicare. Like I'm gonna make us a lot of money, and that's how we're gonna pay for it, right?" On IVF. I remember he came out on IVF and said the tariffs are going to pay for IVF. Now, a lot of this was bullshit nonsense, okay? But it happened, and voters heard it. And so voters looked at Trump, and they didn't necessarily see him as, like, somebody who is a down-the-line, far-right ideologue. Somebody who is extreme on some issues, different on others, practical, businessman, whatever. And I think that if the Democrats are going to try to figure out how can they win, how can they appeal to people in the middle, they should learn from that. I'm not saying that they shouldn't take the left. And later in this panel, I said that me and Hassan disagree on a lot of stuff. I agree with him on the fact that the Democrats should take some left populist economic views that are left of where Kamala and Hillary have been. But if they do that and then also take the left, far left flank view on social issues and also take it on foreign policy, right? You see, I think that ends up potentially being problematic. So much more to discuss about this in the years ahead, but that's kind of a summary of the views. Like I said, a bunch of other stuff happened on this Saturday I wanted to weigh in on. There's a story from Axios about James Tallarico, the Christian pastor Democrat that's running for Texas Senate. I guess on social media, he follows, quote, several adult film performers, escorts, and OnlyFans models, according to an Axios review. Axios goes on to show some of the pictures of these folks. They're hotties. And again, not for me per se, but objectively, they're good looking. They all get a lot of followers. Axios says that staff went and looked to see if Tallarico had like chatted with any of them. And he had sent one of them a message that just said, "Thank you, Alice," after she posted a pro Tallarico story. So my response to this is, hell yeah, James Tallarico. Like, okay, I mean, maybe there'd be hypocrisy here if he was actually hiring escorts, right? That would maybe go against his stated religious views. But like, he's a single man. He's on social media. He's doing well. He's a rare Democrat who's like doing well communicating with younger people on TikTok. He's a rare Democrat who's able to go into the manosphere, hang out with Joe Rogan for a while. Like, yeah, he's going to follow hot girls on Instagram. Great. The Democrats need more dudes who are into hot girls. Most dudes are into hot girls. Like, it's fine. That worked for Bill Clinton. You know, went a little overboard after a while. But to me, I almost wonder if this was a self-leak from the Tallarico campaign to show young men that he's just he can hang with the bros, because I don't see any issue here, you know? I mean, part of me is thinking that maybe Tallarico staff's quote should have been a little less defensive. I guess they said, here's what they said. They said, "The social media team, including James, follows back and engages with supporters who have large followings and does not investigate their backgrounds. James has never subscribed to OnlyFans or an escort service." Well, if you subscribe to OnlyFans, would that really matter? I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that they should have just replied, "James likes big butts and we cannot lie about it because we're running an honest campaign." And I think that'd be fine because people are allowed to like beautiful other people and want to enjoy the fruits of that interest. That's good. That's how the species procreates. So good on you, James Tallarico, for getting your dog on Instagram. I don't see any issue here. If anything, this probably only helps him, as far as I'm concerned, and particularly in the Democratic Party, where I think there's been kind of a little lack of masculine energy in ways that have hurt them with some key demos of voters over the past couple cycles. So also, by the way, inverse is true. Okay. So probably not. I'm trying to think of a woman Senate candidate off the top of my head right now. Probably not going to be Janet Mills. You know, if Mikey Sherrill had been following some muscle guys on social media, I would have been like, hell yeah, Mikey Sherrill as well. You know, this is, we're all humans after all. Another thing, just while we're kind of in elder millennial talk, Donald Trump has pardoned Daryl Strawberry, famous New York Met. Yeah, I was a Cardinals fan as a child, but still, it was hard not to like the Mets. The Mets were cool in the 80s, Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry. Then Daryl Strawberry makes the appearance on that Simpsons, that great Simpsons episode.
Yeah! Daryl.
This is a fine pardon for me, but it seems to be like Trump's flailing. Like, he's looking at this and it's like, he's out there last week saying he doesn't want to hear people talk about affordability. And so what's he doing? And it's like, we're doing a ballroom. We're doing all these pardons. He pardoned another Chinese agent actually this weekend too, a CCP agent. I'm going to get into that a little bit more in this coming week, but we're doing pardons of CCP agents, pardon of crypto guys, pardons of baseball players. We're you know, putting some new avant-garde lettering outside the Oval Office. We're bombing boats in Venezuela. It's like, maybe dial back the focus on all that stuff and actually focus on the fact that people's lives are being harmed materially right now by the shutdown and by the shitty economy. That's probably what I would do if I was Donald Trump, but I'm not here to give Donald Trump advice. Do you want to hear about the Candace Owens stuff? She's leaking old Charlie Kirk texts, or Kirk's trash and Ben Shapiro. I don't know. I want to do a deeper dive on this, actually. Because part of me is like, don't leak people's texts posthumously, I don't think. I don't leak my text. If I texted you out there, and you can leak something. If I text you something really nice and I get killed, you can leak that. That's nice. But like, don't leak my texts as part of your beef. That said, I think that like the substance of all of it is interesting, just in kind of like basically Kirk being more on this more populist side of this debate in private than this ongoing feud between Ben Shapiro and Tucker and Candace. And so I'm going to do more. I want to do more on that maybe with Will Sommer later this week. So that'll be just a little teaser for you guys. We'll put a pin in that. So that's that. A bunch of stuff happening from this week. Go check. I also really enjoyed the Secret Show with Sarah and JVL, where they're talking about the just devastating USAID news and kind of pairing that with Elon Musk trying to get getting a trillion dollar package from the Tesla board after being like single-handedly killing, like being responsible for the deaths of the poorest people in the world. Because we had to, I don't know, tighten our belts. It's truly, the world deserves better rich people, or fewer maybe. So go watch that. It was really good. Go watch Sarah and JVL, their secret podcast. Check that out if you haven't. It was a good conversation. What came out yesterday on Friday. That's my rundown of everything. We'll see what the news brings tomorrow. I'll maybe back here on Sunday, or otherwise Will Salatin or some of my colleagues will be here. And we'll be seeing you for the podcast on Monday. Subscribe to the feed. Go Tigers. Have a great weekend.